Beginning with verse number 14, the Bible says there, "What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. Abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water." And for a little while on this subject, the portrait of a wicked man. The portrait of a wicked man. And notice this is a text, the words toward the end of verse number 16. "Man, which drinketh iniquity like water." And I preached earlier on this subject, "Can a man counsel his peer?" I realize sometimes in counseling one of our peers, and the idea behind the word peer is an equal, but I realize that in counseling a peer, it may really help if we have the advantage of more age or more knowledge or more experience. But then sometimes God may use us to counsel a peer, and you and I need to be careful that just because one of our peers gives us good counsel, and we think to ourselves, well, I could say the same thing you're saying, and I know the same verses as you know, and just because we've got this feeling that they are our peer, it does not mean that God cannot use one of our peers to give us good and timely counsel. We certainly should not be so proud that we reject good counsel from a peer. Now, in this particular verse, we might consider a wicked man. And we might think about, if we were to paint a portrait of a wicked man, what would it look like? I remember this, portraits can be deceiving. There can be a number of things which influence a portrait, and just like they can influence a biography. In reading biographies, be careful, because sometimes a person may be very much enamored with the subject, and sometimes he might be painting the person to be much better than he really is. As far as a portrait is concerned, there can be a number of things that come into play when a man is painting a portrait of a man. The portrait painter may be influenced by his own prejudices. He may be influenced by the point of time in which he is painting. It may be he sees a person in a particular way at that time and in a particular light at that time. There might be pressure put upon him to paint a portrait in a particular way. A person might want the painted of him to be one that is flattering of him instead of being truthful. I mentioned President Andrew Jackson, and there was a story about him that just before he died, he was to have a portrait painted. The young artist came, and the young artist fell on his knees before Andrew Jackson. Mr. Jackson told him to get up and told him to kneel to no one but his maker. According to the story, the painter painted the portrait of the president, but the president's lower jaw, his lower face was swollen. He was blind in one eye. And so the portrait painter used the top portion of his face, and then he used another portrait to paint the bottom part of his face. And according to the story, the family was pleased and the president was pleased. And then also about that same time, this is just in maybe within 5 weeks or so of his death, about that same time, there was someone that took a picture of him. And the president looked at the picture, and he said, "Huh, looks like a monkey." Now, which do you think was a better representation of what he really looked like? And so we might think about the portrait painter. If he's under pressure to make the portrait look better than the person, then he may doctor the portrait some. Now, as far as you and I, if we were to paint a portrait of a wicked man, what would it look like? In this verses 14 through 16, and I'm going to run through a number of verses and just try to pull some ideas out before I settle into the heart of the message. In verses number 14 through 16, we might consider the fact that men are sinners by choice. Men are sinners by nature. God does not trust even in his saints. And then notice as well in verse 16, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. And so if God does not even trust His saints, what about those that partake of iniquity freely? The Bible talks about the heavens. We might think about the fact that the heavens are not clean in His sight. And of course, the lower heavens, as we might call them, have been contaminated by sin. Then notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 17. Imagine Eliphaz saying something like this. Listen to me, and I will show you things that I and wise men know. Then beginning of verse number 20. There we might think about portraits of a wicked man. Beginning in verse number 20, verses 20 and 21. The dreadful sound and the destroyer. Verses 22 and 23, darkness. Verses 24 through 27, defeat. Verses 28 and 29, dwelling in desolation. Verse number 30, darkness and dryness. And verses number 31 through 35, deceiving, deceived, and desolation. In fact, notice, if you will, the last two verses of that particular chapter, chapter number 15, where the Bible says, "For the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. They conceive mischief and bring forth vanity, and their belly prepareth deceit." So you might think about Eliphaz painting, as it might be said, a picture that's very dark, a picture that shows the wicked man in danger, the wicked man doomed to suffer, the wicked man doomed to pay a price. What a dark picture Eliphaz drew, the word picture that he gave us in chapter number 15. Now think about the fact that Eliphaz was one of the three friends of Job that I believe were trying to bring Job under conviction. I believe they were trying to bring Job to the point that he would confess, that he would say that I have done something that has brought all of this suffering upon myself, even though it was not because of Job's wickedness that all this suffering had come upon himself. And so imagine Eliphaz painting these terrible, these dark pictures, word pictures, so as to terrorize Job and bring Job to the point that he would cower down and confess, "Yes, I've sinned. It's because of my sin that all this trouble has come upon me." Well, did it work? Did it work when he heard these terrible words? When he heard these terrible threats of things to come against the wicked? Notice, if you will, in chapter number 16, the first part of the chapter. "Then Job answered and said, I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you." I don't find Job cowering down and confessing. I find Job standing up against Eliphaz. These terrible and dark pictures, these threatening pictures, word pictures that Eliphaz presented did not bring Job to a point of confessing that it was his fault that all these troubles had come upon him. They gave these dark pictures. And when you read through this, you might think about the wicked man suffering in so many ways. Let me read just two or three verses from the beginning of that section, beginning of verse number 20. "The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days, and the number of his years is hidden to the oppressor. A dreadful sound is in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer shall come upon him. He believeth not that he shall return out of darkness. He is waited for of the sword." And it goes on to talk about darkness and so on. Now that's the kind of portraits that Eliphaz painted for Job. How would you paint the wicked? Let me give you another portion of Scripture where another man gave word pictures of the wicked. Notice the contrast. Psalm 73, and beginning with verse number 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men are, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. And the verse number 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Oh, what a contrast. There you got a life as words. Words that tell about suffering and darkness and doom. Then you've got the words of Asaph, a good man. But I believe he, as it might be said, painted a word picture of what he saw, what he thought. He thought about the wicked as prosperous. And the wicked is doing quite well. In fact, he thought of himself as in worse shape than the prosperous wicked. It is true sometimes that we may paint a portrait that is very inaccurate because of our own standing, because of our own prejudices, because of our own thoughts. We may think that it's this way when really it's another way. I can give you an examination report from God concerning men. In the book of Romans in chapter number 3 and beginning with verse number 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Now, how would you paint a wicked man? Would you paint a wicked man who's always under the black cloud of darkness and doom, always suffering, always sorrowing? Would you paint the wicked as a man that's one that is always happy and prosperous and doing well? How would you paint the wicked? I find it interesting, this one little portion in his writing that we find in verse number 16. For the Bible says, how much more abominable and filthy is man, man which drinketh iniquity like water. Those words, man which drinketh iniquity like water. So we might imagine a wicked man. A wicked man with a bottle, and upon the bottle printed very plainly, very clearly, the word iniquity. And the man drinking from that bottle, drinking deeply from that bottle, drinking from iniquity. Drinking iniquity like water. I really think that that is a fairly good picture of many men today. Drinking iniquity like water. First of all, consider this. Imagine a man drinking iniquity like water. Drinking iniquity as if it were a necessity. Water, of course, is one of the necessities of life. And you and I, we need water. If you get down to some basics, we may talk about bread and water as far as just basic things that can be useful, can be helpful for us to just simply survive. Not have all of our tastes met, but to simply survive, bread and water. Bread is certainly a necessity to man. And yet the sinner may act as though that he could not do without his sin. He must have his sin. He cannot be separated from his sin. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 16. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Psalm 36, verses 3 and 4. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Think about a man that drinks iniquity down and he lives it out. Think about a man, he may prefer a peculiar brand of iniquity. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, but it also says we have turned everyone to his own way. And before I was saved, I sinned, and before you were saved, if you're saved today, you sin, but it doesn't mean we all sin in the same way. We have each gone astray, but we've each gone our own way. And sometimes a person prefers some brand of iniquity, and somebody else says, I don't particularly care for that kind of iniquity, but I like another kind. But iniquity is iniquity, and all unrighteousness is sin. And so we might think about men taking their particular kinds of iniquity and turning it up and drinking it like water and living it out in their lives. For many people, their iniquity is just the way they live. In fact, it makes them who they are, the iniquity that they have. They're taking it in through their ear gates. They're taking it in through their eye gates. They are drinking it up as if it was something they had to have to survive. And you can find people so addicted on this or that. And one sinner may say, well, I don't like that. But he may go ahead and have his own brand where he's drinking deeply of it. Drinking deeply of iniquity. Then secondly, not only drinking of iniquity as if it was a necessity, but drinking of it thirstily, refreshingly. Sometimes a person may partake of something not just because he needs it, but because he enjoys it. And I believe that's the case with so many people and their sins. They are enjoying it. And it is true, there can be a pleasure in sin for a season. It's short-lived, but there can be a pleasure in sin for a season. Many a person is enjoying for the season, indulging in their particular pleasures. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. I think that is interesting in light of the more modern days, let's say starting in the 40s or so, all the way to our day. We might think about early along the television, and at least at first people may watch the television during the day. They may have been limited as far as their stations and as far as the times that the television would be on. But of course, you move on to our day, and there's 24-hour, 7-day-a-week internet access where people may just simply be filling over. Well, actually, it's not really filling, but they are taking in through their eyes, through their ears. They are taking in information, information, information. That's one of the dangers of the day that we live in. The Bible says, I'm going to read this again, Ecclesiastes 1:8. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. There's a continuous supply. You can watch one thing, watch something else, listen to this, listen to that, listen to something else. You can be involved in different kinds of social media. You could spend every day, all day, just taking in from this source, from that source. There's a danger that we may become so preoccupied taking in, and so often people in their carnality are taking in that which is carnal. They are drinking iniquity like water. By the use of the internet, a man may drink the iniquity like water and drink it and drink it and drink it. And as far as his intake is concerned, his eyes don't get filled. His ears don't get filled. He can just keep on taking it in. The Bible says this. Proverbs 27, verse number 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. I find it interesting that those two things are found in the same sentence. Along with hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And a person, a sinner, may be drinking deeply and continually of the preferred iniquity, something that he particularly likes. He may drink his iniquity all the way to the grave and go to hell. And just as his eyes have never been filled by the iniquity that he has partaken of, hell and destruction are not full either. And I believe there are multitudes in hell that have just kept taking in their iniquity and taking in their iniquity, never repenting of their iniquity, and they'll go to a place that is not full. Hell and destruction. Then thirdly, consider the sinner drinking of iniquity regularly. Regularly. Like a man drinking water and drinking of it regularly, thirstily. Think about a man drinking of iniquity day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, drinking of iniquity. Sometimes a man may realize, even as he is drinking of that iniquity, that he's not right with God and he needs to get right with God. And yet he may also realize at the same time that he longs for this iniquity and he doesn't want to turn away from that iniquity. Who knows how many people have been addicted to some kind of sin. When I say addicted, it can be physically, but it can be mentally, it can be emotionally. However, a person may be addicted to his particular kind of iniquity and continue on never repenting, although he has dealt with my God about his particular kind of iniquity that he's indulging in. Sometimes a person may come to a point where God's dealt with their hearts. There's an opportunity for them to turn to Christ and be saved by the grace of God. But do you realize the basic reason why people never get saved is because they do not trust God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. John 3:16, of course, we're supposed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many a person doesn't trust God. And when it comes to this realm of drinking iniquity, many a person has some iniquity that they enjoy. God may begin dealing with their hearts about the need to get right with Him, surrender to Him, trust Him. And at the same time, they may feel as though, if I get saved, I can't continue on with what I'm doing. Therefore, they may say, this satisfies me, I want this. And they don't trust that God can satisfy. Many a sinner has gone to hell because he did not believe God could satisfy. Sometimes a person may go to hell because he doesn't believe that God can save. And there can be, sometimes a person may go to hell because he doesn't believe God can supply. Remember the rich young ruler? In that case, he trusted his riches instead of trusting Christ. I believe in that case, he did not believe that Christ could supply. But many a person goes to hell because he believes that Christ cannot satisfy. I'm going to tell you, I can tell you by experience, I've been on both sides. Christ satisfies. Sin provides no lasting satisfaction. Christ provides everlasting satisfaction. Then last of all, consider this. Think of a man drinking of iniquity, drinking of it destructively. And sometimes we may see a person that is indulged in his sins, and even in this life, sometimes we may see the marks on the man because he has continued to indulge and continued to indulge in his sin. And of course, even if we don't see that, even if we see a man prosperous to the end, think about the man drinking of his iniquity like water, but drinking to his own destruction and drinking to his own damnation. The Bible tells us about King Belshazzar. He made a great feast. He commanded the vessels that had been taken from God's house in Jerusalem to be brought forth. And they drank wine of the vessels. They drank wine unto the false gods. And in that hour, there were fingers that appeared, and there was a writing that appeared on the wall. And part of the writing was, "Thou hast been weighed in the balances and found wanting." And that night, Belshazzar was slain. He was having a time for a little while, but it wasn't long before his life here was over, and I have no indication whatsoever, no indication that he went to heaven. And so I believe that Belshazzar's in hell. He might have been drinking deeply right then, enjoying that iniquity right then. But many a person has, as it might be said, died with a bottle of iniquity in his hand. Whatever kind of iniquity he preferred, died with a bottle in his hand, having drank through his life deeply of iniquity like water. There's a warning, of course, for those of us that are saved by the grace of God. Just because you're saved, it doesn't mean that there's no temptation to take up that bottle of iniquity again. There is a part of you, if you're saved, there is a part of you that still likes it, that still longs for it. And there could be the danger that once again you'll start drinking from the bottle of iniquity. And of course, if by doing so you're disobedient to God, and through doing so you can end up without the power of God and the guidance of God and the fellowship with God that you ought to have. Many a person around us is drinking deeply, drinking iniquity like water. You can look around you, and even from that which is obvious, you can see that. Oh, but if we could see in people's homes, If we knew where people went on the internet, I think we may really see they're guzzling this stuff down. They're drinking it down like water. Drinking iniquity like water. If you will, please stand. God's